you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
As the music says, we are glad you're here, and I'm especially glad being here with some friends returning to the Great News Media Studio here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. I won't list all of you by name, but it's all of our regulars, and Janine Keller, who is also joining us today. We appreciate her. She's got the best wink you can ever see or experience. But let me start off with three verses, because today's topic is the power of forgiveness. Pastor Jason Schiffel is going to lead us through that, but let me begin with Ephesians 4:32, which says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Mark 11:25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Wow, that's one to really think about. And then one of my own favorites, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Probably a verse I've cited and shared and thought about and expressed many, many times over the years. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 23rd, 2022. And as mentioned, our topic today for discussion is the power of forgiveness.
The power of forgiveness. It's so good that we all get to be here today and get to share this time together, not only in the studio here, but with all the people who are tuned in and who are listening with us right now, our extended studio audience. But right here in this room, what I'd like to do is kick this off and talk, because forgiveness is an interesting topic. Because it's not easy, and it's not always often done, at least not done, I would say, and I'll make a case for biblically, the right way. But I'd love to hear maybe some places where you've had to forgive, or some places where it's been really tough to forgive, or maybe even some places you need to forgive or are in the process of forgiving. So I'm going to punt it to you guys. I know you came prepared with all your stories of forgiveness. But where are some places? Let's share together. Where are some places where you were either had to forgive and it was really not fun, you are in the process of forgiving, or you need to forgive?
What was a hard time for me was when my son's wife demanded a divorce. And that was really painful to me and, of course, to him. And I had much anxiety about that and anger and almost hatred, which I had to get rid of. And I gave it to Jesus.
How long ago was that?
10 years ago.
Wow, I'm just, I'm sharing 14. That because I'm sure the listener can feel the emotions that still are a part of that.
17 years ago.
Anybody else?
Well, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, as many of you have. My dad married a woman, and we became a very blended family. But they brought baggage, both of them, into their marriage, and his children suffered, and I was one of his children. I had to learn to forgive my stepmother. She's still my mother. They're both gone, but as in church, it had to be in the 60s, and just before Easter, and the minister said about Jesus forgiving on the cross. And I thought, if he could forgive all those people, why can't I forgive my mother? And at that point, I did. And that really has blessed my life, the rest of my life. I'm 75 now, so.
No.
When I worked as a janitor at St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, we would have to mop entrance ways and stuff. And, of course, people had to walk through the freshly mopped floor, and they would be very apologetic. And I would just smile and say, I forgive you. And they would just light up.
That's interesting how many people looking back in their lives and it's family. You'd think it would be other people outside of your family that would be you'd have problems with that you needed to forgive. But listening to her story about step parents, I had a somewhat abusive stepfather who is gone now. And I remember when my mom first told me that he had died, I was like, well, good riddance. Then I stopped and I thought, no, that's not right. That's really not right. And I had to ask for forgiveness myself for thinking that and gone on to forgive him. And it's like, forgiveness isn't just for the other person. Forgiveness is more healing to us than to anybody.
Anybody else?
I was going to say, along with what Gail said about our, I guess you call her ex-daughter-in-law, that I really had to forgive her because I had to go back and think about who she was and what kind of a background she came from, what were her thoughts and so on. And so I've kind of, in that way, forgiven her. And even to this day, I think it might have been a little bit a way of the Lord leading in that too, because my son and this lady are very good friends yet. And they do kind of look out after each other, but the whole fact they can't live together. But it's because of her background. And so this is what I find in so many people. When you have trouble with people, you have to look to see where they're coming from, what their background is, and how is that connected with the Lord, too.
That's right. That's interesting, and we're going to come back to that, Elmer, in just a few minutes when we really talk about what I think are some of the steps that we need to take to forgive. But isn't it interesting, culturally, we always hear this euphemism used, forgive and forget.
Yes.
And the problem with being able to forgive is that it's really not easy to forget, especially the level of trauma or hurt that's associated with the thing that wounded you. You know, that you're angry about, that hurt you, that you don't know how to do anything with. And you ultimately, and I think Gail gave us a great, she said, I had to give it to the Lord, you know. And Sharon said, I was in church and I heard God's word, and God's word prompted me to look and say, well, what does the life of Christ look like when it comes to forgiveness? Because really, that's the only place we're going to find that. Because in our own selves, forgetting is not something we can do very well. Forgetting is not doing that very good. And so what we want to do is we want that person who hurt us to pay a price, or we want them to ante up, or, you know, we want somehow redemption to come. When that doesn't, that will never, it's a fleeting thing. It'll never pay. If that makes sense. You know, somebody coming and apologizing to you might never be enough. Somebody giving you what you think is your due in that situation will never be enough for you because of the degree of the hurt and maybe even the depth of the hurt. And so Mark read the verse from Ephesians 4:32, which says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God has forgiven you. So the root of forgiveness begins with Jesus, God in Christ. That's the only place that we can find forgiveness or find what forgiveness, real forgiveness, should look like. But what I love about this verse is it begins by saying, be kind and compassionate to one another. And then it talks about forgiveness. And the reason the verse does that is because you can't be kind and compassionate if you have not found forgiveness for those things. Because that thing that you can't find forgiveness in, it just weighs you down. Like so many of you had already said, it makes you angry. It makes you frustrated. It's just an open wound. It's an open sore that doesn't take much to actually get rubbed, does it?
That's right.
And so we need to find the kind of healing that can only come from looking at a picture of forgiveness that is beyond ourselves. In fact, one of the verses I love, and Mark read it from Mark, but I love what Matthew says more. Matthew says, if you're coming to offer your gift at the altar and you haven't forgiven your brother, go find him first. Leave your gift and go find him. Why? Because you can't worship God with your whole heart when part of that heart is stuck in unforgiveness. You can't be kind and compassionate when you're carrying unforgiveness. You can't be the whole person that God made you to be when you're unforgiving and when you have unforgiveness, because that thing weighs you down like an anchor. You know, Tad said, and he kind of touched on it, but there is this phrase out there, or this, what do they call that? Not analogy, but this is when you help me. What do they call it?
Catchphrase?
Allegory?
A catchphrase. That you don't forgive somebody to free them, you forgive them so that you can live free yourself.
That's right.
Because those things will weigh us down. Those things will become a kind of prison that will keep us from what the Bible says, being kind and compassionate to one another, from worshiping God with our whole heart. So God says in Matthew, before you come to the altar, before you come to worship me, make sure you do a little inside work. Make sure you look inside your heart. In fact, Paul says that concerning communion, doesn't he? What does he say that you have to do before you take communion?
Examine yourself.
Forgive.
Yeah, examine yourself. See if there's anything in you that's going to stand in the way of you taking the bread and the cup and fully seeing the power of God at work in Christ. And so we have to look at what God's nature and definition of forgiveness is. Now, this is, most people don't want to do this. And even Christians don't want to do this. Does anybody know why they don't want to do this?
As a sinner, we try to hold all those things so we can hold ourselves over somebody else.
Yep. Anybody else?
Forgiveness means you're giving up the right of demanding repayment for whatever was done. And if you just let it go, you're like, I'm zeroing out the accounts. Nobody owes me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's like, no, I should get my fair share. That's hard to get rid of in a natural fallen state.
Yeah.
We try to hide the fact that we did something wrong.
Yeah. So, listen, God's forgiveness always involves sacrifice. In fact, John 3:16 says, for God loved the world. Now, John 3:16, I am really smitten with the Christian Standard Bible's interpretation of that verse, which is different than how we always hear it, because John 3:16 is usually, what is John 3:16?
For God so loved the world.
For God so loved the world, yeah, that he gave. But the Christian Standard Bible says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I love it that it says God loved the world in this way, because that means that God is giving us a way. He's showing us a way that is different than the world's way. He's showing us something. Now, built into that is that he so loves that the love is more important than the offense. Mm-hmm. That he's willing to sacrifice. Now, the other reason why I love that is because the next verse I would go to for forgiveness, at least forgiveness and how God does forgiveness, is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So John 3:16 says God did it this way. And then Romans 5:8 said, and God demonstrates this way to do it. And then what does 1 Peter 4:8 say? Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin.
That's right.
A multitude of wrongs. And so God looked out at the world, and listen, there was no reason. In fact, Romans says that we were enemies. We were enemies of God and enemies of the cross. And God still sent Jesus to the cross to offer forgiveness in a way that we could never have imagined or dreamed, that would offer sacrifice, and not only sacrifice of a sacrifice of someone who was innocent, sacrifice of somebody who did no wrong, for people who did everything wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And God didn't have to travel far to figure that one out, right? We know that he kept track because we have a book.
Right.
We know that he knows all the stories.
Yes.
And so, but God in this way gives us a way to do it. And then God demonstrates for us what that way looks like. And he doesn't demonstrate for us the way that it looks like so that we can go, great job, God. What an amazing show. God demonstrates that way so that we'll do it. If there's anybody who's listening, us in the room and our listeners driving in their cars or wherever they're at right now, listen, God's demonstration is for our doing. And so when God demonstrates forgiveness, he does it so that we can do it. But we can't do it on our own. The Bible's really clear. We need the Spirit's help and Christ's witness in order to be able to do that.
Amen.
The testimony of him being, and I heard that. I heard that from Sharon, and I heard that from Gail, and I'm sure because Elmer was involved in that situation, he too had to do the same thing. And I'm sure that we all, at times where we have forgiven, have gone, and I couldn't have done it without Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And I would venture to say that there probably are people or situations or places where we're still actively working to forgive. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that we haven't forgiven, and we keep getting that nudge, that little tap on the shoulder from the Spirit saying, hey, what about that? Why don't you make that call? Why don't you go and talk to that person? Because I want you to love me with your whole heart. And according to Matthew 5:23-24, you can't do that while you still haven't forgiven. And listen, forgiving is not saying that it was okay that they did that. And forgiving is not letting them off the hook. Forgiving is saying, I want to live a life that's different than the life I've been living. I am forgiven, that's and right. therefore I will forgive.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and I just think this is an important thing for us to say, sometimes the places where we've been hurt and the things that have happened, it's because we haven't been watchful. How many times have we been hurt by hurting people?
Many times.
You know, there was somebody who told me recently, and it was kind of like this moment where they said this to me, and I kind of stepped back and said, oh. They said, you know, hurting people hurt people. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know what they don't know how to do anything different. They're hurting. Mm-hmm. And so when we get involved with hurting people, by the way, let's just level the playing field. How many hurting people do we know?
Yes.
Lots.
Yeah.
And so hurting people sometimes act selfishly. Hurting people sometimes say things off the cuff or say things improperly. Hurting people sometimes do things without thinking. Hurting people do all kinds of things, and they hurt people. We need to be watchful and mindful and say, you know, I see something over there, and I just have to be real careful with that. I have to be real careful. I have to figure out how I can love this person because God commands me to do this, but then be watchful because I know they're hurting. I know that there are some things that they may do to me that they might actually not be able to help.
That's right.
They can't help themselves because they don't know how not to do it. And so just really quick, because we don't have a lot of time, but there, when I studied counseling in college, they gave us these 7 steps to forgiveness. And the first one was to acknowledge that you've been hurt. Sometimes what we think is well, as good Christians, I don't want anybody to think I don't have enough faith, so I'm just going to tuck that hurt way back. Well, you tuck enough hurts way back there, you've got a whole body full of hurt. And so first we need to acknowledge that we're hurting. We need to say to the Lord, Lord, this thing was hard. I don't know why that person did this or this happened, but I'm really hurting because of it. The second thing is to consider. Consider that maybe that is a hurting person who didn't mean to hurt you, didn't even know they were hurting you, but they did. That doesn't dismiss that there are malicious people out there who hurting is something they think is fun to do. Mm-hmm. But we need to consider that. Why? Because we do need to consider that there's more to the story than just what we thought and what we felt in that moment. And then number 3 is to accept that we can't change what happened. I can't go back and make that different. But what I can do is today say I'm going to live differently right now. And then determine to live that way. I think you're going to have to do that with the Lord's help. And then repair your own heart and maybe that relationship if you're able to. Learn. One of the things I have to learn is I have to learn, listen, I have to be real careful because my first inclination is to help somebody. Mm-hmm. And that hurting person may hurt me. Mm-hmm. I have to learn that I have weaknesses that sometimes allow myself to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And then the 7th step is I have to forgive. And I've had many times where I've had to go to somebody and say, listen, I don't think what you did was right. I don't like what you did, and it hurt a whole lot. But I forgive you. But there are now new rules to our relationship. Mm-hmm. There are new rules of engagement for our relationship because I know that my chances of being hurt by you are increased. And listen, I think that's good honesty. I think that's really good honesty. And listen, forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. But forgiving means that I'm not going to allow myself to be bound up with anger and hurt in such a way that I can't be who God has called me to be in His presence.
That's right.
And if we want to love the Lord our God with our whole heart and worship Him and worship Him alone, then anything that hinders us from doing that are the things that we need to address. They're the things that we need to say, I got some work to do here. Any last thoughts from anybody? Because I don't like to be the last one to talk.
Well, I wrote down something that we haven't discussed yet or fleshed out, but he who has been forgiven much loves much. And I always think about that, you know, I haven't done horrendous things, and yet I've been forgiven for thought life, for multiple words that were unkind, on and on and on. And so I think, oh gosh, Lord, I've been forgiven so much. So hopefully that causes me to love others too, because I know that I have been forgiven much. Mm.
Anybody else?
Your list there, the steps to forgiveness, I was thinking while you're reading those, I'm like, every last one of those requires the power of the Spirit working in us, mm-hmm. because we can't do that on our own.
And we don't want to.
Exactly. If it wasn't for the Spirit's work, we wouldn't want to go do that in the first place.
Right.
And then after we've done that, we're commanded that we should pray for others. Mm. So not only is the Spirit working in us through our prayer that the Lord will heal those hurting people, we authorize the Spirit to go into their lives, and they may not have any other opportunity to get that unless we are praying for them.
Right. God doesn't waste a thing. And so the situation that led you where you were hurt, where you had been hurt, where these things may have happened, where unforgiveness lies, that root of that, God doesn't waste a thing and wants to use that to redeem not only your heart and to work on your heart, but also to maybe even redeem that person out of where they were at too. And so that's what we need to think. That's one of the things that helps me in difficult situations constantly, as I say, God, you are not going to waste one bit of this thing that I'm going through.
I'll close out again with 1 John 1:9, because I think when we recognize we're forgiven by God, we can forgive others. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us all from unrighteousness. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room full of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.